Welcome everyone to episode 104 of Dimes on Duval. No Keith tonight as he is handling personal matters, and it is an episode handled by myself, Mike Yazji, and Skylar Chase, who is remote working at Coastal Indoor Golf at this moment, but was able to step away for a little bit to join me on this episode. How you doing, Skylar?
All right, just glad to get my voice out there, you know. I'm always struggling to get on here sometimes, but it's good just to have a moment just to talk Jaguars football and whatever's recent.
No, that's definitely for sure, and I appreciate you having a few minutes to hang out with us. Obviously, Skylar, if he does go away for a little bit, it'll be me rambling on because he does have customers to take care of, but hopefully they don't need too much assistance. Right, Skylar?
Yeah, no, these guys, they're just whacking balls right now. They never really need too much trouble.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, good. So, Skylar, obviously, there's no college football going on right now. Obviously, the only college football that was done recently was the Heisman Trophy ceremony, where quarterback from LSU, Jaden Daniels, won it, and also Army-Navy occurred. Personally, we don't care about either of those. Obviously, Army-Navy was a great game to watch, but didn't really mean anything to us personally, unless you have some connection to Army-Navy.
Yeah, I mean, I do know the quarterback for Navy, Ty Labatai. I'm good friends with his brother. They went to Creekside, and when I used to work at Wendy's, Ty and Toa would come in. So I've known Ty, just a little kid, little middle schooler back in the day when I worked at Wendy's, and it's just cool to watch that. If you got to see the pregame, he actually was shown wearing a Creekside shirt. So Creekside did get a little shout out there before the Army-Navy game, which is pretty cool.
I did not know that you knew someone on the Navy football team, so that's actually a pretty cool story right there. So he went to your high school. Did you see him play or not really? Because obviously he's much younger than us.
Ty was a quarterback after I graduated. So he was in school when I was in school, but he was also a couple grades younger than I was. But Toa, he had a scholarship to UAB, but that's when the football program fizzled at that point, and he was actually coming back from an ACL injury, I believe. So it was unfortunate for Toa. Toa never actually got to play college football, but no, they're pretty nice people, a good family for sure. They would always get the big chicken nugget basket. Like, you can get like a 50 count Wendy's bucket of chicken sometimes, depending on the season. But yeah, I've always seen their mom and the family coming in, so it's unfortunate that they did lose at the 1 yard line, but you know, I was rooting for Navy the whole time for that reason.
There you go. That's a good connection. And unfortunately, I had the under in the game, and I kind of got burned on that last play. So it happens. That safety kind of ruined it. But it's okay. It's college football for you. But let's talk some Jags. And you mentioned, obviously, the Jacksonville connection to the Navy quarterback. And I'm not even going to pronounce that name, so you got it there. We are going to talk Jags mainly today, and a little bit of baseball talk near the end, and also some local news. The Jacksonville Jaguars are right now on a two-game losing streak, and there's problems in Jacksonville. Whether it's the offensive line and their health, the lack of pass rush, the inability to defend anything, the run game, the quarterback injury, there's just a lot going on in Jacksonville. And the last 2 weeks, we obviously know that they lost to the Bengals. Actually, this is the first episode since we played the Bengals, I'm pretty sure, because we recorded on Sunday. Yeah, we recorded on the Sunday before the game after the College Football Playoff Committee completely shafted the Seminoles. So we obviously did not record after the Bengals game, and we are obviously now recording after the Browns game, both games that we lost. So, Skylar, I want to ask you, judging on those two games, those two losses that we had the last 2 weeks, what do you think is wrong with this team? Is it a multitude of things, like I said, or is there really one key factor that's impacting this Jaguars team and also allowing the Jaguars to lose these games and hurting our playoff chances going forward? What do you think is wrong with the Jaguars last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm still looking at it game to game. It definitely sucks in terms of the division race and the one seed. Now it's, you know, it's a little tighter. It's a little bit more stressful than we anticipated. But honestly, I think, you know, like I said, going game by game, Cincinnati game, they probably did a little bit what they did with Houston coming in that first week, where they just kind of downplayed the quarterback coming in, because Browning's been pretty successful since coming in and starting. He may have had a rough start, his first start with Pittsburgh, but, you know, against us in Indianapolis, he's had some success. And I think, you know, maybe going into that Monday night game, the team, you know, they didn't prepare the way that they probably should have. And I think Doug's mentioned that, like, you know, you got to be hyper-focused these next coming weeks because of the intent of everyone, every other team coming down the stretch. They're fighting for their life. And, you know, they're coming to come at us not only with their best because they're playing us, but because it's do or die for most of these teams now. You know, Cincinnati has needed to win these last two games to keep it going. Cleveland has needed to win these games to stay alive too. And, you know, we've seen how, like, wild the AFC is starting to look with everyone having the same record now. So I think going into Cincinnati, they probably downplayed the quarterback situation a little bit. And then on top of that, they couldn't stop the run, which was bad. And, you know, injuries are part of the game. They're obviously part of the game when you're playing such a physical sport. And that's something that we're dealing with now too, as well, with Christian Kirk going down, and then Agnew's been out. He's not necessarily a key factor on offense, but I think he does provide a spark in special teams. We've had moments where, you know, Washington's had some good returns, but he's also had a sit, like that 75-yard punt against Cleveland where he kind of caught it, danced around, and, you know, didn't really gain. He could have got maybe 3 yards out of it, not a ton, but instead he stayed vertical and didn't gain anything. But that's just that veteran presence that we're missing in special teams. So going into Cleveland, a little bit different. The defense is getting a lot of blame, but the offense still turned the ball over 4 times. And I think they were just too careless with the ball. Some poor decision making, in my opinion, with that game. We, you know, we had one of Trevor's interceptions was overthrow to Zay on some type of miscommunication or something. And that was first down play. We had just got the ball back, so it was a one play drive there, I'm pretty sure. And then another play, I'm not sure if it was off of Darius's interception, but we were in the red zone and he threw another interception where Ridley just didn't look for the ball. So some more miscommunication. Just to highlight what Doug said, it's just they got to focus better during these weeks. They can't just assume that they have it all figured out, because we still haven't. Like, we've been expecting the offense to score a ton of points. And, I mean, they've been getting to the 30s pretty consistently and pretty easily in some games, but it's still something that you just can't expect from this team every week like you would from, like, other offenses that, like, I mean, Baltimore, they consistently score, but and seem to have success. But you know, it's just the first game, Cincinnati, bad defense all around. We had to chase after it or just try to keep scoring, and you never really want to get to like a knife fight like that. And then with Cleveland, the turnovers can't happen. I don't get why they went for it on fourth down with 3 minutes left when they should have punted it and just got another three and out. And then some questionable 2-point conversion attempts, but they'll get past that. Obviously, this week's a lot tougher, but, you know, the weather's going to be a factor in this week. Wind's going to be an issue, so we'll probably see a lot of running in this game. So
yeah,
hopefully they can get back to their running defense. Yeah,
I want
to
focus on the last two games real quick. Sure. The Bengals game, like you said, the defense 100% overlooked the fact that Jake Browning was in a second career start. At that point, the defense was a disaster. They could not stop anything. The Bengals coming into the game, I believe, were one of the worst run offenses in the league. And yet, the Bengals put up 156 yards rushing. They had two touchdowns from Joe Mixon, and Chase Brown looked good too. Chase Brown, the backup running back, looked very good. The Jags offense was fine, and then obviously what sucked was that Christian Kirk, like you said, first offensive play of the game, catches a 26-yard pass, goes down immediately, leaves the game, doesn't come back, and now he's out for the year. And I don't know if you heard that, but that was my computer about to potentially do a restart. So this will be fun. But the Jags defense was a complete disaster 2 weeks ago against the Cincinnati Bengals. They just not, I think they completely overlooked everything, and that is, I think that is the reason why the Jaguars lost. The offense played well, not well enough, but unfortunately, I just, something is off about this team defensively and honestly offensively, because honestly the game against the Bengals, the rushing game was also non-existent, and it's kind of been on a downward spiral. They're not doing well running the ball, simply put. And I don't know if it's because Etienne's not 100%, which is a factor. I know that. Lawrence, they're just loading up the box. I don't know. I have to pay attention to that next game or the rest of the season. But I just think the lack of running game in the defense is a problem right now.
Well, I just want to say one point to that run, like the offense running the ball. It could be a factor of the fact that we're down to our fourth left tackle. You know,
and that's definitely, yeah, that's a problem right now, because it has been rough with the offensive line injuries, losing Cam Robinson a few weeks ago, losing Walker Little against the Bengals, losing Ezra Cleveland now against the Browns, and now we're on our fourth left tackle, which hopefully Cam Robinson's got two more weeks, right, I believe, since he can come back. I think they put him on IR. I think they did. Actually, did they put him on IR? I don't remember if they did, but anyway, that's another probably a week or two without Cam Robinson. And then just to touch on the Browns game, the defense is a problem. I think there's going to be changes coming in the offseason. I don't believe Mike Caldwell is going to be the defensive coordinator going into next year. I think they should let him go, because you cannot let a backup quarterback put up 34 points on you and also allow the Browns to put up 31 points on you with a 40-year-old quarterback. Joe Flacco sat there and just torched the Jags defense. 311 yards passing for Joe Flacco. The running game didn't really exist for Cleveland. And David Njoku was wide open for a touchdown. David Bell was open for a touchdown. Like, these are critical plays that you need to be able to stop. 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-2, whatever it was. The first touchdown of the game, it was 3rd-and-1 from the 34. You stop him, and Njoku's wide open. No one within 10 yards of him. Touchdown. And then the second touchdown, David Njoku wide open going across the middle. Ended up in the corner, but like, he got 30 yards, touchdown. Wide open. And then we had interception, and then it's just like, it's just nonstop. I'm just so tired of Mike Caldwell and his lack of play call. Like, his play calling is atrocious, in my opinion. Like, he needs to blitz more. However, I will say, when you bring out all-out blitz, you're going to get burned, and that's what happened on that first drive. So, I think the defense is a problem for Jacksonville. And I know everyone's going to say Trevor had 3 interceptions and we had 4 turnovers. But also, the miscommunication, like you said, Skyler, that has got to stop. This is week 14 of the year. This should be addressed in the preseason or in the first month of the year. You should not be having miscommunication issues or communication issues in week 13 of the NFL season, 14 of the NFL season. It is ridiculous. This is your 13th game. Something's got to change. And honestly, at this moment, you're asking me right now, I am not bringing back Calvin Ridley on a multi-year extension. You cannot afford to pay him, and he's done nothing to really impress you. He's had a few weeks of impressive ball play. Impressive gameplay. But it's just been very inconsistent for me, and I'm just telling you right now, I would not pay Calvin Ridley. And honestly, I would not bring him back, because then if you bring him back, you lose a second-round pick. And honestly, I'd rather use that second-round pick to help another need on this team. That's just me, but I do believe the defense is a problem here in Jacksonville. And it's like you said, we are going into another tough test, another AFC North team, which going before the season, we knew this 3-game stretch would be very difficult. Right now, we're 0-3, or 0-2, about to be potentially 0-3. So, I don't know. So,
do you think...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you think Mike Caldwell's more of the problem, not necessarily the personnel on the field, because we lead the league in takeaways. So, like, my thought is, you get better pass rushers. You know, Devin Lloyd actually is in the spot he needs to be, or whoever plays that position is actually in the spot. I think, you know, that helps reduce some of those issues you have.
Skylar, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was telling Keith the other day when we talked on the phone about rescheduling to today's episode, to today to record. I think there's going to be more personnel changes, and I'm talking at head of leadership. I think they're going to get rid of Trent Baalke. They've got to. The lack of awareness of not having a pass rush for 2 years now is something that needs to be addressed. And the fact is that Doug Peterson is doing the best he can with what he's got. And I guess Caldwell is too. But man, this falls right on Baalke, and the pass rush is not good enough to lead to win a Super Bowl. You look at the stats across the league, and I'm going to pull up the stats real quick. I want to see what your thoughts were on what I just said about wanting to move on from Baalke. Baalke is not a great GM. He's had some good plays or good additions, whatever. He tried to address the offensive line, but man, the pass rush is a problem for me, and I don't know if we're going to do anything about that going forward. But I want to hear your thoughts on what I just said. Oh, Skylar texted me saying he's popping back in.
Oh. Yeah, I'm back. So, yeah, are you still recording?
Yep, I'm still good. I just saw your text message. Yeah, so I don't know if you heard what I said, but I wanted to move on from Baalke. So, yeah. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I want to let you say some things real quick.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I could see that totally, because definitely pass rush has been something that people have been clamoring about. It's an obvious and glaring hole. It's not like something that just secretly popped out of nowhere. And then, obviously, when we needed that, too, we took Trayvon Walker, who is slowly developing. But, again, he was more of a run stopper, you know, a big physical body, not someone really – necessarily known for getting at the quarterback and getting sacks. So that's where, yeah, we've had a gripe for a while. So I could definitely see that as a thing. It is weird, because I mean, the only thing you don't really want to mess up is like team chemistry and stuff, but who's to know how that like would react if, like, obviously we have a harsh playoff exit again because we can't the quarterback. Is going to be talked about all off season. He'll probably get another shot, another draft, and then we'll see how that goes. Apparently, like, obviously patience is not something that we have a lot of as fans. We want instant results. People, like, we went into this year expecting us to probably be a Super Bowl contender, like, as fans in this area. And realistically, we probably weren't there. We probably still need to develop the roster a little bit more. Josh Allen has certainly stepped up, but, you know, we do need some more guys around there. And that's been something that's been a gripe for a while. We wanted to re-sign Yannick many years ago, even with different GMs. It's, for some reason, people, like, I don't know, it's pass rushers for some reason are overlooked. So when it comes to Jags, we can't get the good ones. We always get some rotten ones, it seems.
I just pulled up the NFL stat leader sack statistics for the defense. Mm-hmm. Skylar, can you just take a guess how many sacks we have for the year?
As a team?
As a team, yeah.
So Josh Allen has 13.5, and then I think Trayvon's at like 4.5, maybe 5.5. So I'm going to go like a total of like 25.
So they are at 27 sacks. Now, in comparison to the NFL leader right now, oh, it's fun now we're mentioning this team. It is the Baltimore Ravens who come into town this Sunday. They are at 49. They are almost double what we have.
And, you know, they made some moves in the offseason by going after Roquan Smith from Chicago. And, you know, they even got Odell Beckham on the offense. Obviously not pass rush related, but those were the moves that, like, we see other GMs make, and it's weird when you see these players come available in the NFL, and, like, every person in the world would be like, oh, I would love to have that person on our team, but for some reason, teams don't act on it, but...
Yeah, and And just to say a stat real quick about the Ravens and Jaguars comparing the two defenses, the Ravens are fourth in the league in yards per game allowed, a.k.a. like they are very good against the pass. Against the passing offense. Let me do total real quick. Let me look at total. Okay, yeah, that actually helps them even more. They are number four in terms of passing yards allowed, so they're really good against the pass. They're even better against the run, where they actually... Actually, they're pretty bad against the run. I'm looking right now. Wait, where are they? I don't know where they're... Oh, they're middle of the pack. But total defense, yards per game, they're number two in the league. They allow 284 yards per game. The Jaguars, on the other hand, allow 357 yards per game. And that's a very big difference. And the Jaguars are one of the worst in terms of pass defense. They are actually second worst. And they allow 265 yards a game passing. So it could be a very long day in the bank on Sunday evening. And I just don't know what the Jaguars are going to do. I do have a question for you. Do you think that... We talked about what's wrong with the Jaguars. You say it's a little bit of defense, play calling. You think it's the offensive line depth issues, the health. Do you think we're going to experience more of the same in the last 2 weeks, this upcoming Sunday night against the Ravens? Or what, do you think there's a change in the guard, essentially, of how we're
playing? I think you probably see a team that wants to go out there and prove themselves a little bit more. Whereas, like, the past 2 weeks is probably, like, going into Cincinnati, they probably had a more of a, you know, this other team's going to have to beat us, but we're really not that type of team where it's too difficult to beat us. It's more so we just have to make sure that we're just on top of our game and play our game. And that's where, you know, in Cleveland, play calling was a little different. You know, we were more vertical, which I normally like. But without Christian Kirk in the game, you know, it definitely changes how it goes. Like, we have Zay back, but Zay was helping Christian out, and Christian helped Zay out. And they both of them together help out Calvin. So, you know, when you're down to just Calvin and Zay, you really do miss Christian a lot. And you still have Ingram as a sure-handed guy, but I think there was a stat where I don't know. I'm gonna get the wrong number of games wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was like seven straight games of a reception of 20 yards or more, at least of one. You know, one reception of 20 yards more from Christian Kirk in the last seven games or so. And that's huge. That's a huge chunk play to know you have that chunk play every game. That's big, because now we still have players capable of that, but it's not a guarantee. It's like you said, Calvin Ridley's had some good games, but he's had some games where it's like, what is this guy doing? Like, he's running one way. He, you know, on the touchdown play to Parker Washington, he didn't even run a route. He was just talking to the ref as soon as the snap went. So it's just one of those things, I guess, where you just have to deal with the situation right now. Obviously, later in the season, we have more injuries. And like you said, that's a part of the game. That's something we're just going to have to deal with. You know, it would have been nice to have this game be for the number one seed, but we've lost the right to play for that this week. I don't know if this week will be fun in terms of the play on the field, but it'll be fun in terms of the environment. And we're just probably going to, you know, have a tough game plan ahead, but we're going to have to get through this one and then just really look forward to the next few games.
Yeah, and you mentioned Christian Kirk's streak of, you said 25 or more or 20 or more? You there, Skyler? I think he's popping back in. Anyway, Skyler mentioned a stat where he had 20 to 25 yards, a streak of a completion of more than 20 yards in the game. So I just looked at Christian Kirk's game log, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 straight games where he had a reception of 20 yards or more. That is really, critical to this offense. And to answer my own question, I do think, I have a feeling it's going to be more of the same. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see the Jaguars playing well. Now, the Jaguars, ever since I can remember, are a team that plays to its competition. They have always struggled with certain teams and have played well with certain teams. I do believe that this is going to be a tough game on Sunday night, and the Jaguars, for some odd damn reason, they cannot seem to play well at home. The Jaguars are currently boasting, this is actually the second to last home game of the year. The Jaguars are 3-4 at home. Granted, the London game ties into that, even though it shouldn't, but whatever. The Jaguars have not, they lost the first two games against the Texans and Chiefs, one against the Falcons, one against the Colts at home, and one against the Titans and got blown out by the 49ers at home and obviously lost to Cincinnati a few weeks ago. This is their last chance, I think, to make an impression on their fans. I think the game against the Panthers in a few weeks on New Year's Eve is going to be whatever. But this game against the Ravens is as close as possible to a must win. If they don't win, this team is not, I don't want to say not making the playoffs, but this team is flirting with missing the playoffs. And I know that there is a, John Shipley tweeted, and I know I got to credit Skyler for sending that to us in our group chat. There is a, if the Jaguars win tomorrow, Sunday night, their chances are looking pretty damn good to make the playoffs. The lowest percentage with a win on Sunday would be 67%. So they can win tomorrow and lose the last three games. They have a 67% chance of making the playoffs. But obviously, if they lose tomorrow, it's a little risky because, aka really, Jags need to win the two of their last four games, and I think they're in. So, I know Skyler's back because I can hear by the audio. Skyler, you mentioned the Christian Kirk reception streak of 20 yards or more, I believe is what you said, right?
Yep.
So I looked it up. He had 11 straight games with a catch of 20 yards or more. The last time he did not have a catch with 20 yards or more was week one, ironically. So,
and that's when we, you know, really tried to feed Calvin a lot.
Yep.
Introduce him to this offense.
Yep. And I know you didn't hear me say this, but I said that this is going to, I think this is going to be more of the same on Sunday night. I think the Jaguars are going to struggle, and I think the Jaguars are about to hit a three-game losing streak. I personally hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see anything from this defense specifically that shows me, yeah, we can stop Lamar frickin' Jackson. The guy is an MVP, was an MVP candidate, and honestly is an MVP candidate right now. But also our offense has not shown me anything like, we're going to be able to wreck this Ravens defense. Granted, the Ravens defense did just get lit up this past weekend against the Rams, but I'm skeptical of this team. I'm skeptical of this offense and defense, and I'm just, the only person I trust right now is Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, but everyone else I'm just not comfortable with going into this game. Travis Etienne is not healthy, and it shows. Calvin Ridley cannot communicate, is just constant miscommunication with Trevor, and I'm just a little worried about this defense and also the running ability of Lamar Jackson against this defense.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Lamar for the first time.
I'm very excited to watch him play, but it's just, it sucks that it's against our team.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be, like I said earlier, I don't think it'll be fun in terms of production on the field. It'll be a fun environment for sure, but I'm not expecting us to win. If we win, it would be like another stolen game like we stole from them last year, which, you know, honestly, I would like to see that. You know, last year we weren't the better team in games, and we ended up winning most of these games just because of the fact that we were written out of them. So I think, you know, it would be nice to see them play above how we expect them, because they've kind of been playing under our expectations. I mean, defense has played better earlier on in some situations when offense has been struggling, but it would be nice to see them both come together and really just exceed our expectations. And this would be a really good week to do that. And that would just obviously put a lot of confidence into the entire team as we roll into the playoffs. And it definitely would help to beat this, you know, conference opponent. Obviously, it does. I don't root for injuries, but it's been helped. Like, it's fortunate that, you know, Texans are kind of being decimated right now. And they play Cleveland as well. They play the Titans twice, and the Titans are kind of heating up a little bit. So it'll be interesting how that goes. And then the Colts would have to win out in order to get the division, which the schedule kind of favors them a little bit. Because I can't remember who they played this week, but after that it's Atlanta and then Las Vegas, and then they have a home final game against Houston. I don't know if it's in Tennessee or Houston, but last game of the season for them is Houston and Indianapolis. So, you know, one of those teams is not going to finish at 11 wins. But in order for the other team to finish at 11 wins, they would have to win out. And if the Jags and one of those teams both end up at 10, the Jags are going to get in. But obviously we hope it would be cool to win 11 or 12. You know, win these next four games, or at least three out of the next four, just so that way we can roll into the playoffs with some confidence again. But yeah, that it is what it is right now. But they have to find ways to produce, you know, in these moments where they're lacking the players that they usually rely on.
Yep, I'm just skeptical right now. I think the Jaguars will still win the division, but I just don't see them winning this Sunday night against the Ravens. But I hope I'm wrong, because that would be very nice to get a win against the former rival in the AFC Central, the Baltimore Ravens. So, I have a question for you, Skylar. Last question before we wrap up Jags talk. Do you think the Jaguars are Super Bowl contenders? After you've seen it from 14 weeks of football across the league, 13 games for everyone, do you believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars, the 2023 version, are a Super Bowl contender? Yes or no?
I still think yes, just as a fact of the fact, like, just looking at the AFC, it's wide open. You know, Miami, they just lost to Tennessee. So it's weird. Kansas City, you know, they're on a 2-game losing streak. And then you look at Baltimore. Baltimore's probably the toughest team, and we're going to face them this week. We're going to kind of see what they're like. So even if we come across them in the playoffs, we'll kind of know what to expect and how to prepare for them and game plan for them. But the AFC is so wide open, I can't just sit here and say no. Of course, I would like to see what our full team looks like, because Tyson Campbell's been out, you know, for multiple games during the season. He's been back briefly and hasn't really been able to kind of get into, you know, being Tyson Campbell, just because he's been back and forth, you know, in and out with health. So be nice to see him get healthy and stay healthy before the playoffs. And if that's the case, if we're a full health, I think we're going to be a contender, because that AFC is so wide open. It'll just be kind of battling our demons ultimately, like, through the playoffs. We'll have to overcome that adversity, and I think this team is really good at knowing how to overcome adversity, just based on last year. We've seen it, and hopefully they can channel more of that.
Yeah, I'm not as hype. I'm not as positive as you are, but I think they're not Super Bowl contenders. I think they're a first round at the way they're playing right now. First round exit, more than likely. Yeah, but if they keep this up, they're first round exit. They'll make the playoffs, but it'll be a first round exit, in my opinion.
You think so? I mean, let's look at, like, we sneak in, we're the fourth seed, we still are division winner, if we're likely hosting.
Right now, we'd be hosting Cleveland right now if the playoffs ended today.
I feel confident against Cleveland, honestly.
Not after Joe Flacco, what he did to us. So, I mean,
that was in Cleveland. You know, we scored 27 points, and we should have had more. We made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, they only allow 10 points per game in Cleveland, and so we scored over 17 more, and they're a lot worse on the road, Cleveland is. So if they came to Jacksonville, not that we've had great home field advantage this year, but if Cleveland were to come to Jacksonville, I don't think it would be as easy of a game. Like, it wasn't an easy game for them to win this week, but they seem to have it in control for the most part. But I think coming to Jacksonville will be a little bit different in the playoffs. We have that playoff experience. So, I mean, maybe second round losers, in my opinion, at the worst. But
well, I hope
it's still wide open. It's so wide open. I think it's still an option for us.
I hope you're right, but I'm just not confident right now with this team. But we'll see. We'll see in after this Sunday. Maybe my opinion changes, but I just don't see it right now. But anyway, that's enough Jags talk right now. Skylar, I know you mentioned to me before the show you want to talk a little bit, just quickly, on the Shohei Ohtani news about contract. Obviously, I don't care for baseball like you and Keith do. But I know he signed an incredible, what did he sign, a $700 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I know, obviously, he played for the Los Angeles Angels. He's moving cities in the same state. So now he is signing a $700 million contract, which I just looked it up just to get the exact number and terms. Apparently, it contains a mysterious opt-out. So I'm curious about that while I look into that. What are your thoughts on that contract, and is this, like, what do you have to say about this topic? I know you want to bring it up, so I'm sure you have some thoughts on it. Okay, and he just hopped in for a 7 o'clock transition. I just saw his text message. All right, so I'll come back to that one in a second. Just, actually, this is a perfect time to do it. So I want to say thank you all for listening to Dimes on Duval. I'm not ending the show quite yet, but I do want to say a special shout out to Nerdy Nuts, our sponsor. I wanted to share with you guys the code that we have, Dimes10, for 10% off your order. There are new orders or new flavors that are out there, better than anything brownie, caramel sticks, burr finger cheesecake, banana cream pie, reindeer tracks, Santa's sugar cookie, and berry cobbler a la mode. Those are the new flavors by Nerdy Nuts, and I want to read you one of them. Just give me 1 second while I pull it up. My phone is not loading things right now. Anyway, you can go on nerdynuts.com and enter the code DIMES10 to get 10% off your order. I need to actually place an order with Nerdy Nuts. I have not ordered with them in a minute, but I definitely plan on ordering this cycle for the new flavors to help, obviously, our sales, but also, why not have some peanut butter or almond butter? But yeah, you can definitely look on nerdynuts.com and order your favorite flavor whenever you are ready. One last thing I want to mention before Skylar comes back. The local update regarding the Jack's Sporting Club. There is a new soccer team coming to Jacksonville where it is a soccer club part of the USL Super League or the USL Championship. It's the United Soccer League is what it's going to be a part of. The owners are, there's five owners. There's Ricky Kaplan, who's a majority owner, Tony Allegretti, Steve Livingstone, don't know who those people are. But there are two famous local legends here in Jacksonville that are associated and are part of the investment team. Former Heisman Trophy winner, Tim Tebow, who is also a local kid who went to Nice High School and is obviously a Florida Gator legend down in Gainesville. And also another Florida Gator legend, Jacksonville Jaguars legend running back, Fred Taylor. They are all part of the ownership group, and they announced on December 12th that the team name is going to be Sporting Club Jacksonville, shortened to Sporting Jacks. The team logo, the team colors, looks like an aqua teal color, really aqua, with the crest and everything. You can go on their Twitter account and look up, let me pull it up right now, Sporting_Jacks to bring the USL Championship and USL Super League to the First Coast. They do have merchandise available for sale if you would like to purchase some of the Sporting Jacks merchandise. It is actually a pretty cool logo. It does have the word Jax in a Shield logo, so I might have to cop one just because obviously it is a local team and a local product, so definitely want to support them as they come to Jacksonville whenever they are ready to play games. And I do hear Skylar is coming back.
Howdy, howdy.
All right, so Skylar, I mentioned the Shohei Ohtani news. I just talked about the sporting club Jacksonville, but I want to go back to the Shohei Ohtani news. What were your thoughts on it? I know you mentioned that you want to talk about it, so I want to give you the floor here to talk about it. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just obviously one of the biggest contracts, right? Like right now.
Yep, $700 million. I saw that. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to compare it. Like, the only thing we've seen recently was like John Rahm when he switched over to LIV Golf, like just this past couple weeks. His paycheck's been is supposed to be like $500 million as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Skylar. So, am I not understanding this correctly? So PGA Tour players can still switch to LIV Golf even though LIV is in a partnership with the PGA Tour? I'm still a little confused on that.
So, I mean, the paperwork for the partnership hasn't been finalized yet. They're in agreement, but they're close to signing the deal. And then essentially the way it's going to set up as a partnership is it's almost like – this is from an anonymous source who works for the PGA Tour, but he said, essentially said, you know, you work your way up, you do like Korn Ferry Tour, and then after that you go to PGA Tour or DP World Tour, and then from there, like if you've earned it, if you played really well on PGA Tour and DP World Tour, then you've earned your right to play on the LIV Tour and earn essentially like a huge signing bonus based on your performance on that. And then after LIV, you go to the Champions Tour. So it's a stepping stone from PGA Tour onto the Champions Tour. It's just a middle ground where, like, essentially you'll have all-star golfers because they're only going to take the players who've had the most success on PGA Tour events and such. And, you know, we've seen that the big, like, you know, these past years we've had, like, Chase Koepka come in, but they had to get Chase in order to get Brooks and – they had to obviously do certain things to get certain players. But, yeah, essentially it's going to be set up once the deal goes through to where, you know, if you play extremely well on PGA Tour, you've earned your massive paycheck, and you could play in these events on LIV Tour where it's only three rounds. You know, it's only 12 events a year. You're not straining yourself out. You're not having to pay for as much travel and such. It's a lot better for some of those golfers who's earned their right there.
Gotcha. And I know we mentioned the Shohei Ohtani news. What did you think of that deal? I know obviously we went on a little tangent with the golf, but I just want to ask that question. But obviously you compared it to John Rahm, who just signed with the LIV Tour. But what did you think of the Shohei Ohtani news? And also, is that good? Just a quick thought, is that good for baseball or not really? What do you think?
I mean, I wish Chicago would have got him. And I don't think it's bad. Shohei is an amazing player, and he plays multiple positions. He pitches and he hits, and you know he's not only like an amazing hitter, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. So you're getting someone that you can almost rely on every day for offense, obviously, and then you have another pitcher in your line, your rotation, that is just as good as any pitcher like in the league pretty much, you know. And he's going to be paired up with Clayton Kershaw, and you know, LA's always got good pitchers. I just don't know who else they have right now. But, you know, they still have Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman as well. And that roster is just stacked. But it doesn't always equate to success because, you know, Shohei just played with Mike Trout during his career. And
yeah, I was going to say, Angels barely made the playoffs, if they ever did with Shohei. So
I don't think they ever did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what I saw, but yeah, it's just Shohei is a good player. I wish he would have been in Chicago, but hopefully, you know, I'm going to try to go watch him. Hopefully, when LA comes to Miami or something like that, Atlanta maybe. Now that he's not in the AL, it'll be something that we can I could probably enjoy more.
Yeah.
Well, at least in terms as a fan, not when he plays Chicago. I'm not going
to. Well, I was going to say you might enjoy more. Keith will have to see him a little bit more often, so.
Well, we both will. It's equal. At least, like, he's It's just it'll become the playoff time when we see them. But right now, the Cubs and the Nationals aren't even really teams worthy of that conversation.
Well, that's fair, and I'm glad you got some thoughts off on that and also the John Rahm deal. So do you have anything else you want to talk about tonight, Skylar? I think we've been recording for about 45 minutes or so. So if you have nothing else, I think it might be time to sign off, and then we'll come back next week. What do you think?
Yeah, no, only other thing I got looking forward to is they announced the track layout for the Daytona Supercross in March, but I know that doesn't really – tickle too many people's pickles. So
yeah, no, I'm the host of this episode, so I'm gonna go ahead and not talk about that. So are you going to the game on Sunday real quick before you go back to work?
Oh yeah,
you are.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll be out there freezing cold, rainy, wet, whatever.
Yeah, I'm flying from I'm coming back into town that Sunday evening, and I'm having my dad drop me off at the stadium, so we'll see how the weather is gonna look like for us. So we'll see. But anyway, for Skylar Chase, Skylar, you can go back to work now.
All right.
For Skylar, for myself, Mike Yazji, and for Keith being at home, this is another episode of Dinos on Duval. Thank you all for listening, and as always, go Jags forever.